Hello and welcome to the second episode of Down by the River. I am your host, Matt Havens. I am 39 years old. I am a motivational speaker and I live in a van down by the river with my entire family. It's a lot some days, but some days are pretty awesome as well too. I want to thank you all for tuning in. And I want to thank you because last week we released the first episode of Down by the River. It was kind of a departure from the previous podcast I had done. And in looking at what you all did, it was downloaded nearly 5 times more than any of the other episodes that I have done. And so I'm very appreciative to you all for listening. I realize that, you know, some of you may have just joined because you're like, why did these people decide to go live in a van? But either way, thank you. And if you enjoyed that first episode, if you enjoyed this one, just please go to wherever you're listening, rate the show, leave a review. If you have not subscribed to our YouTube channel, please do that. It's at Havens Family Adventures on all the different social media platforms. But it's particularly on YouTube. We're starting to release a little bit more information out there. I'm going to start putting this podcast out there in different audio clips. So if you would, please, if you haven't subscribed, go check that out and share it with anybody else that you think maybe would benefit from this. But just to recap kind of the last episode, that official launch of Down by the River, we talked about why our family decided to do this and really just how we try to remove excuses from the things that we want to do in our lives. And so again, maybe some of you tuned in because you're like, they've lost their minds. Like, what are they doing? That is certainly possible. But the goal of the podcast is just to share some of the stories, the lessons learned throughout this entire journey so that you don't have to go and sell your home and live in a very, very tiny space with 2 8-year-olds. But for today's podcast, what I want to talk about is gaining perspective, or better yet, seeking perspective. Because another big reason that I don't know we really got into last episode about why we did this is for Megan and I, it was really important for us to teach our girls as much as we could about whether it's different cultures, different ways to live. In some ways, we wanted to teach them and show them the way that other people live, whether that's now or through history. You know, very early on when we were traveling through the South, we took them to the Whitney Plantation, which is just a completely eye-opening, fascinating look at plantation life during slavery. And, you know, we struggled a little bit with deciding, do we show our children, our 8-year-old children, what this looks like? And I was blown away by not only how the Whitney Plantation sets up that experience. And if you're interested in reading a little bit more, you can go to our blog at thehavensfamily.com, where we kind of outline what that experience was like. But I was also really impressed with our girls' ability to see and hear some of that information and really take it to heart, and also be able to handle, you know, what is obviously a very tough conversation and part of our history. So that's another reason why we wanted to do this trip, was to help them and certainly Megan and I as adults, you know, gain perspective on the life that we're able to live, the people around us, the opportunities that we have. And so with that in mind, that was always kind of one of the goals. But one of the more impactful moments that we've had so far for me about gaining perspective was, again, early in our trip, we took off from Dallas and we headed to the national park that is in the state of Texas. It is called Big Bend National Park. And so when we went to go visit Big Bend National Park, we didn't know at this point what we are doing. I mean, we are still a few weeks into this whole van life. I'll be honest, I don't even know how to work the van all the way and the different electrical systems and stuff. So it's a process. And when we got to Big Bend, you immediately lose cell service. So you don't know, you can't look up information where you have to drive 40 or 50 miles on, you know, a single lane road just to get to a visitor center or, you know, any form of something to look at or people to talk to. So we're a little lost, but we finally get there and we set up in a campsite. And then we had this thing of like, well, what do we do in Big Bend? Maybe it would have been helpful if we had researched something beforehand, but we didn't. So as we started talking to a few people, what we found out is that you can actually cross the border of the Rio Grande into Mexico. And there's a town there called Boquiles, which I could be completely ruining the pronunciation of that. But you can cross the river and go, you know, eat some food. You could go shop at some different shops they have there. And we thought, well, wow, that's a really cool experience for our kids to do. So the next day we get down to the checkpoint and you come to the Rio Grande. And at this point, the river is not very wide. It's maybe about 10 feet tall or 10 feet long, but you have boats that will take you across. Now, you could certainly walk across at this point, but you know, it is set up there a little bit to tip the boat drivers, that sort of thing. So the kids thought it was really fun. We hop in it and we take the literally 45 second boat ride across into Mexico. And there at that point, that's sort of the next decision you have to make. There is about a mile walk that you could take into the town, or they have burros that are there that for, I think, 10 or 15 bucks, you can take those into town. And we have 2 8-year-old daughters, and we decided, of course, we'll take the burros. Now, I'll be honest, I don't even know if the girls enjoyed it. I think they were scared the whole time, but Megan loved it, loved the burros, and I did kind of too until, you know, maybe 5 or 10 minutes down the road, and I realized all of my legs hurt and everything was uncomfortable. But that's what we did. And when we get to Boquiles, it's a very small town, and that's when you start to realize certainly how impoverished that community is. It is one road, a few restaurants, a couple shops, you know, selling goods. There's a community center where they'll tell you about the history of the area. And that's about it, maybe 20 buildings or so. And so we got there and we certainly realized we want to at least help support the community there, you know, buy some goods, sit at one of the restaurants. And so we decided that we were going to get lunch there. And that is when I realized when we sat down, I came woefully unprepared. I had enough money for the burros and to tip the people there, but I didn't have enough to really buy any goods or certainly pay for lunch. And they didn't take credit cards. So my only option at that point is either we have to get up and basically leave, or I get the fun chore of running back across the border into the United States where our van is, get more cash, and then come back. And that's what we decided to do. So I talked to the wait staff there and said, is it okay? My wife and kids will sit here. I will make the journey back. And at this point, in our 2 or 3 weeks of traveling, as we had, you know, packed up to go to different places, I had probably run back to the van, I don't know, 3 or 4 times already because we forgot a backpack or a wallet or whatever we forgot. But this is the first time that my forgetfulness was going to mean I had to cross an international border and run what I was imagining was going to be about 3 miles in order to get this done. But I figured I didn't work out that day, so let's do it. Let's make it happen. But as I was telling this to the waiter, he let me know that he has a friend right across the street, Jesus, who has a truck and would be willing. He was going to be going down there anyways and would be willing to give me a ride. So that's what happened. I hopped in the car with Jesus and we began the drive, you know, which would have taken me 10 minutes to run. So I was very appreciative of that. And just in the conversation with Jesus, I was asking him about, you know, what life was like and how was it living here. And he said something that I had not really considered, but was really interesting, was how over the course of the pandemic, the checkpoint that I was going to be going through and had come through the first time had actually been shut down for over a year and a half. And as I thought about that and seeing where Boquiles was and how there was this town, and for every place else you could see, you saw nothing. No other towns or communities. You saw dirt, you know, wind, some mountains, and that's it. And it was really impactful to hear from Jesus the impact that closing a border like that for a year and a half had on their community. He basically had absolutely no way to make income. The nearest gas station was 75 miles away. The nearest grocery store was over 100 miles away. And so he talked about what it was like to have to, you know, go get as many groceries as they possibly can and also probably have to fill up gas just to make it all happen. And doing it where all of their income, all of their revenue had been from tourists coming across from the United States to partake in the goods and the services that their town had. And all of a sudden, that income was flatlined. There was nothing. And so it was at that point I'd reached the border. So he said, Jesus said, hey, I'll wait for you and I'll drive you back up. So I ran across the border, tried to go as fast as I can because I realized my Megan and my girls are just sitting at the restaurant. And so I grab some extra cash, come back across the border and get back in the car with Jesus. And I asked him, I said, how did you do it? How did you make this work? And he said something that was really impactful. He said, it was tough. And I'm not, and he even said, I'm not just trying to be positive, but you have to recognize there was no choice I had. I didn't have a choice. We had to find the good in the situation. And so at the end of the day, Jesus said, I have my family. His parents were the ones that actually ran that community center I told you about earlier. He had his kids, he had his wife. And so he said it was certainly tough, but we found the good, and I had my family with me, and that's all that mattered. And I've thought a lot about how do we teach perspective to people when we can't be put in all the same situations that other people might have to be in. As a speaker, I think that's one of the toughest things that I try to do is try to give perspective and help us think differently about some of the common problems that we have. But without putting yourself into somebody else's shoes or actually going through some of the experiences and situations that all of us have to encounter, it's really hard to teach perspective. But Jesus in that moment certainly taught me what it's like to look at what I would deem very, very tough, difficult situations and deal with it in a positive light. And again, it wasn't that he always viewed it as, I'm just got to be positive. He viewed it as, there's no other choice I have but to be positive. There's no other choice I have but to find the good in this situation. When you change the view at which you look at something, when you approach the situation from a different vantage point, it forces you to find perspective in the situation. Another sort of physical, visual example that came to mind is when we were visiting in Sedona. We went to Bell Rock, which is this big rock formation that, as we were approaching it, I'll be honest, I wasn't that impressed. We were gonna go park, and you had to walk about a mile to get up there. It was hot out. I didn't really want to do it. And when we were looking at it from a distance, I thought to myself, this is just another rock. Why is this such a big deal? And as we got closer, I started to realize how magnificent it was in size. And as we got even closer, you start to realize the different trails that you can walk up, and you can actually walk up pretty high up to the top of Bell Rock. And so, of course, we've got young kids, and that's what they wanted to do. So we tr start trekking up Bell Rock, and we got about halfway up to the top. And as I turned around, I looked back towards the town of Sedona and towards the other rock formations that were in the vicinity. It was absolutely breathtaking. And I was reflecting to myself about how just an hour prior, I thought to myself, this is absolutely ridiculous. Why would anybody do this? And here I am now saying, wow, I'm so glad that we did. And so what I would, for the people who are listening, what I would challenge you to do is as best as you can, try to seek a different perspective in some of the situations that you may be curious about in life, maybe in some of the situations that are causing you stress or anger or frustration. And you can only do that. You can only really find that different perspective by forcing yourself into a different point of view. So one of the things that I would challenge you all to do is to find ways to put yourself in that situation. If you find yourself with someone that you disagree with, then go in and have an intentional conversation with them. Certainly, we're in this environment now where it feels like a lot of us are polarized, whether it's politically, religiously, I don't, whatever sort of avenue you want to think about, there seems to be a lot of, polarizing views here. And so I would challenge you to go find somebody and maybe a certain point or a topic or something you don't know enough about, and go and seek somebody who does and have an intentional conversation. The goal is not to make a point. The goal is not to win an argument, but to understand somebody else's perspective. Even at the most basic level, like if you keep going on the same vacation spot, find, because you keep going to the same place because it's comfortable and it's interesting and oh, the beaches are great, or we just love the view, whatever it is, find a different place. Like you could find some beauty in other different areas that will give you a better rounding and a different perspective of what else is out there. We just got back from traveling to Iowa to see some family, and I'll be honest, I went into Iowa thinking I want to get through Iowa as quickly as I possibly can, but we saw some of the most beautiful landscapes, part of the country. We visited with some family at a lake that's over there, and it was absolutely gorgeous. And so I would say I have a newfound perspective for Iowa. And any of the listeners that are in Iowa, mad props. You guys got some things to see besides just corn. There's a lot of corn there too, but there's some other really interesting sites. So that's what I would ask you to do, is to try to gain a different perspective in a situation that you might be dealing with. You can only do that by forcing yourself into a different conversation, to look at it from a different vantage point. There are people around you in your community, in your life, that will help you do that. And again, it's not always about changing an opinion. It's not always about making a point. It's just trying to better understand or to see something from a different lens, a different vantage point, a different view that might help you make sense of that situation. Who knows? Maybe along the way, you'll also just gain a deep appreciation for either what you have or what you believe or the people around you. But either way, I think it's going to make us all better, more rounded people when we try to do that. So to Jesus, if you are listening to this, thank you for the life lesson that you taught me. I appreciate it. For the rest of you, thank you for listening. Please, again, share this, comment on it. Let me know if it was interesting, what you would like to hear about going forward. And I look forward to talking with you next time on Down by the River.